live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint.
This is Karina Hogan with Let's Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before we begin, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we are broadcasting from today. I'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which you are taking this broadcast from across this beautiful country. I'd also like to acknowledge our elders, past and present, and also elders of more recent arrivals. It's a pleasure to have you here on Let's Talk this morning, no matter how it is that you're taking us, whether it's through your radio at 98.9 FM or via our app, the 98.9 FM app, that you can download from any of your favourite app stores. And you can also pick up the live show that would be pre-recorded, rather, a little bit later on in the day at 98.9fm.com.au. And, of course, you can catch us on all those social media platforms. Jump on, get involved in the conversations and share what it is that we have to give you throughout the week. You've got Beau Monday to Thursday. And then, of course, I finish the week off with you on Friday. And today is the 1st of October, which means that it's Indigenous Business Month, which is an initiative that began about 7 years ago at the Melbourne Business School. And it was part of an initiative called the Murra Indigenous Business Masterclass Program. And it's grown into something that I think has kind of taken off, I think. There has been such a shift in the space of business. I can't say that I am, you know, completely across the whole world of business. However, I suppose I have my own little business, you could call it. But I'm really interested this month in chatting to some really strong Indigenous people right across the country who have done a whole range of things, from taking risks and following their dreams. They've turned COVID into an opportunity, done things like pivoting, which is something I only learnt this time last year in Indigenous Business Month last year, and also defied odds and broken into industries where, generally speaking, blackfellas aren't, you know, there at high numbers. I'm really, really excited today because I've got someone in the studio who I've been following for a little while, and I ran into her one day at a friend's house and went, oh, you're that amazing. Well, actually, I think I was mentioning about this business, and then she turned to me and said, oh, that's my business. And I went, you're joking. Jira Lulla Harvey joins me in the studio today on 98.9 FM's Let's Talk. Good morning, Jira.
Good morning. It's so nice to be here with you, and what a lovely introduction.
Oh, well, I was surprised when I met you because we were at Sister Girl April's house, and I was there to see the kids, and you were there visiting as well, and we'd just met. And I mentioned this really cool business that was, you know, on the coast, and, oh, we should all get together and do this retreat. And you turned to me and said, oh, that's my business.
That was so nice. I mean, the retreats is just, you know, that's my dream project. It's my passion project. So whenever I hear any community members talk about it, just like, oh, my gosh, it makes me so proud.
Well, let's not keep the audience waiting. Tell me what Kalinya Retreats is.
Sure. So first off, thank you for having me. I want to pay my respects to the ancestors on this beautiful country that has welcomed me so much. So I'm a Yorta Yorta and Wiradjuri woman, born and raised on Kulin country in Melbourne, and I moved up to Queensland last year to launch these retreats. They've been a dream of mine for ages. I was running a lot of business events in Melbourne. We had the Nagami meetups for Aboriginal entrepreneurs. We're bringing together Aboriginal business owners from around Australia, but we're doing it in pretty corporate environments. And I noticed the way that we would kind of change in these spaces. And like, these are my mates, so I know what we're like when we're just hanging out together. And as soon as we got in these corporate environments, we'd kind of take on like the attributes of the space. And I was like, we need a chance to get together in a place that we feel completely comfortable, and we need longer than, you know, some networking drinks. Like, we've got big conversations to have. And So I was imagining, like, where is the most beautiful place we can go and just spend a couple of days around the fire and have big conversations and be surrounded by healthy food and beautiful activities and a showcase of Aboriginal products. And I just fell in love with Yugambeh Bear country. I fell in love with the hinterlands and the southern Gold Coast and came up and started the retreats.
And Kalinya Retreats did not just start as Kalinya Retreats. Kalinya Retreats actually started from Kalinya Communications quite a while ago. Tell me about that and the beginning of it, and then let's take us forward to when you went, you know what, I'm going to leave my state down here in Melbourne, skip a couple of states where none of my family are, and bang, start this retreat.
Yeah. So you're right, Kalinya Communications next year will be 10 years old, which is amazing. I'm going to do something big to celebrate that, because I think it's really important that we celebrate these milestones. You know, business isn't easy and it's definitely like a lifestyle choice. So I'm really proud and grateful that, you know, we're getting to that decade point. But I started it years ago. I studied media communications. You know, you work in this space and you know that 10 years ago, we just didn't have the representation that we have now. You know, I couldn't imagine walking into a shopping centre and seeing an Aboriginal model on the windows. Like, that was unheard of. So I wanted to be a part of increasing positive representation. You know, I grew up in a big, strong family. I'm a Bamblet from Victoria. And I grew up surrounded by amazing community initiatives and didn't understand why the rest of Australia wasn't seeing that. So I wanted to be a part of that change and studied marketing. And I just thought that I would have a marketing job in a Koori organisation. But 10 years ago, they didn't exist. We didn't have marketing jobs in Koori orgs. You know, our organisations were resourced for health and legal services and, you know, essential services. And it's so important that we're the ones to tell our stories. But, yeah, 10 years ago, those jobs just didn't exist, right? So there was a crew of us that were trained to do it. It's just that the jobs weren't there. So that's where Kalinya Communications came from. It was like, the jobs aren't there, so we've got to start the business. And so I went out on my own and had never known anyone in business. All my family work, you know, in organisations. I think there was some really lovely naivety in, you know, like, I just jumped in and I was like, yeah, just giving it a shot. And I remember I sent out an email to everyone saying, oh, I've gone out on my own. Like, this is what I'll be doing. And in a couple of minutes, I got all these emails back saying, gee, you're brave. And I was like, oh, what have I got myself into? But, you know, we learn.
Well, let's talk about, you know, setbacks and failures and jumping in and naivety. How do you feel about that F word, failure?
It's interesting because in the startup community, like, I spend a lot of time in Melbourne in the, like, tech innovation startup community, and failure is, like, it's really encouraged in that space, like, that you're meant to take risks, that you're meant to jump in. They talk about fail fast or fail forward. And I think it's really different for Aboriginal business owners because we feel this sense of responsibility, you know, like, we're often the first person from our community kind of in a certain space, or if we're the first ones to raise capital, or we're the first people to, you know, have an Aboriginal business in a certain space, you feel like you have this responsibility to do well so that you create that pathway for the next ones coming in. And I think also, you know, there is still bias. And so you're always trying to prove that you are brilliant. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges, is that failure and risk-taking is actually really essential in business. And then to feel that responsibility that you always have to be so perfect is really tough on Aboriginal business owners.
The other thing is, you know, you moved from Melbourne, where you're from, where your family are, where you're really well connected, to Queensland, where that's not the case for you. And you're still very fresh in this Kalinya Retreats. How did you go from, you know, being off your community, away from your country, away from your mob, to moving to another area and taking up space essentially in Queensland and building this wonderful business that you have?
It's something that I, you know, I was nervous about because I just want to do it respectfully. I'm really lucky that I do have family up here. My brother, the Saunders, from up here, and I was raised with Auntie Jackie Huggins and have great mates in the Aboriginal business space. You know, Trona Manda, Blacklash have been so supportive and we're collaborating on some cool things. So I was really lucky in that, you know, our connections are so great nationally as blackfellas that you can move around and be welcomed. But I, you know, I was nervous because I'm a Koori woman from Vic, you know, that's where I'm used to working. And so I really wanted to take my time and focus on building relationships first. And take this slowly, like to be able to build the retreats in a way that's beneficial to local community and just always be open to listening to feedback about how we can do it in a way that, you know, that it should be done here and be led by traditional custodians.
If you've just joined us here at 98.9 FM's Let's Talk program, we're chatting with Jira Lala Harvey, who is an amazing entrepreneur who started Kalinya Communications that's grown into this beautiful thing called Kalinya Retreats. And we are chatting Indigenous Business Month. Sis, I want to know, what are some of the practical things? Let's just say I wanted to pick up my comms business from here in Brizzy and take off to Darwin and start a business up there. What are some considerations that I would have to have if I just wanted to, you know, follow my dreams and start something somewhere else, two states away? Or
It's definitely relationships, right? Like, you know, I think being aware of who's doing what, where you are, and where your skills can contribute to what's already happening on the ground. I think that business, particularly small business, is so much about your own well-being as well. Like, I think you've got to put lots of practices in place to take care of yourself. You know, one of my biggest things is I get up early and journal every morning, and it helps me process kind of what's been happening the day before, get my thoughts together for the day ahead, and really what tasks need to be prioritized. The to-do list, you know, it's endless. Like, you just got to be happy with what you can do in a day. But I mean, I think that there's all these conversation around like hacks in business. There are no hacks. Like, you've got to work hard. You've got to put in the work.
Even a hack can sometimes be a little bit of harder work, you know, cutting corners, because it can come back and bite you in the bum.
Absolutely. I don't think, you know, yeah, we don't want to cut corners. We want to build relationships and we want to have like full lives, right? That balance work and community and family and, you know, having time on country and all of those things. But yeah, I think it's always going to be nerve-wracking moving into a new space. And it's been hard in the last year because the borders are shut, you know?
And you're right down there on the border, or close to.
Yeah. And I can't get home to see my family and have time on country, you know, like I'm hanging for that. I've always lived internationally. Like, I've always lived, I had a place in the US and would be between Australia and America and always move around a lot, travel to like 20 plus countries, learning from First Nations people around the world. But I always came home, like every couple of months I would be home with my family, and so this is the longest I've been. So that's probably been the toughest challenge.
I suppose that speaks to the thing of being able to quote unquote pivot and be agile in a world where, especially now, you just don't know what's around the corner, you know. So let's talk about COVID and how you've had to pivot with COVID. I mean, you just mentioned there what you had to do, but what have you had to do as far as your business is concerned, and how do you see it moving in the future?
It's been an interesting time for me because I've always worked remotely. So this lifestyle of kind of working different hours and working from home and being on Zoom is not new for me. And so in a way it felt like everybody was joining my world. So that's been really interesting. I think another big side of my work is gatherings, you know, whether it be events or retreats or meetups, that space for us to come together in person. So to not have that has been tough. But, you know, we've seen a growth in Aboriginal business in the last 18 months that has just been so huge. And I think it's a culmination of a number of different things that people have been at home is one of them.
Do you think it has something to do with the resilience of blackfellas?
Yes.
Like, we've had a few pandemic-like situations occur in our time in recent history.
Yeah.
And I feel as though, from what I've seen as far as business is concerned, is a lot less, I suppose, could you call it crisis talk, I guess? It's kind of just been like, yep, let's roll with it. This is the situation. Yep. This is what we do kind of thing. And so I kind of put that down almost to the resilience of blackfellas as a culture.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're incredibly resilient and we're incredibly used to our way of life changing around us and us having to respond to that, and for us to survive and stick together and make it work. You know, that's happened throughout our lives, throughout our ancestors' lives, right? So I think we're incredibly resilient and set for change. Mm.
Yeah, there's that word survive, right? But I almost feel like that, like you were talking about the shift that's occurred, you know, with comms, for example, but also with business, there's survival. But I feel like it's kind of skipped forward to thriving in a sense. Like, it's like this amazing thing that blackfellas have innately to be able to barter, create relationships, have community, understand sustainability.
Yeah.
And that, for me, I mean, as I said, I'm not massive in the business world. I never did a business degree, but I think just, you know, being part of the Indigenous community and being around blackfellas, I feel like us as people lends itself to this new business environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And that we always had economies, you know, like we were trading and trading internationally long before the British came to this land. And so our trade systems are, you know, they're incredible. And I think that that way of doing business has survived. I was just reading up on some businesses, and the late Lynn Onus, you know, he was an absolute hero of mine. I was reading up on his dad, Uncle Bill Onus, who was, you know, a great activist and was really, you know, played a big part in getting us citizenship rights and around the 67 referendum. But he was also an entrepreneur, and he opened a business called Aboriginal Enterprises. And next year, that will be 70 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, 70 years ago.
That is something worth celebrating.
It's so huge. And so it was a business, and it was where Lynn learned how to paint. So his dad had this workshop where he made boomerangs and woomeras, and it became this like big tourism hotspot. But the amazing thing was that he like then travelled around the country. He scaled it nationally. He opened it in other places, was employing other Aboriginal people. And this was before we had citizenship rights. Like this was,
yeah, wow.
This was a time when the government could legally take 70% of any Aboriginal person's income. So imagine what it meant in that moment to have an Aboriginal boss.
Right.
You know, and so I just think for years and generations we've had businesses that were impact driven and that we're looking after country and that we're building community. Like, none of this is new to us. This is just the way that our elders have taught us to do business.
Wow, that's incredible. And I think you know, business is one thing, but I think being a blackfella and incorporating what that means in business is another thing. It adds another layer, right?
Yeah, of course. And it adds so much strength. You know, we come with an incredible sense of intuition that is very, very helpful in business negotiations, you know, and particularly now that this whole conscious consumerism, you know, that market is huge. So people want to know whether something is environmentally friendly, and they want to know if there's going to be community impact, and they want stories to connect with products. Like, they're things that we just do so naturally.
Yeah. And you do so pretty pretty amazingly. So tell us, Jira, we're going to wrap up really soon, but where can people find you online?
Yeah, sure. So we're just building out our first website for the retreats. And so the retreats are everything made by Aboriginal entrepreneurs. Like, I mean, from the shampoo and conditioner we use to the coffee that we have to our website is built by an Aboriginal tech company. So that'll be launching soon. That'll be cleanyourretreats.com.au. And, of course, Clean Your Retreats. We post all of our updates on Instagram. We've got a beautiful artist camp coming up in 2 weeks. So that's like 5 days for Gold Coast artists. We'll be doing beautiful things like making palm baskets that we soak in the water hole and bush dyeing, and then talking about how you scale those forms into architecture and the built environment. So keep an eye on the page, because there's going to be some beautiful things coming out of there, all shot by Wirram, another Aboriginal business.
Amazing. I'm just looking at your page now, which I always look at pretty much daily. And you've got So basically the retreat kind of looks like it's out in the beautiful, well, it is out in the beautiful hinterland of the Gold Coast. There are bell tents spread, about 7 bell tents there spread around with a beautiful fireplace. And then the food, sis.
Yeah.
The food.
I know. Yeah.
One way to get mob.
Yeah.
To want to come to a retreat, have a look at this deadly food.
It's beautiful. Like, so Chris from Three Little Birds, he comes out. So it's
I've met Chris from Three Little Birds.
He's an incredible, he's like a food artist, you know.
He is a food artist. I saw him at the Beanley Historical Village a couple of months ago, and he was
at the fish on the coals.
Yeah, he was teaching my boy and I how to shuck the oysters and cook the fish on the coals. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's incredible, just collective, you know, like it's just a whole bunch of Aboriginal businesses coming together. And it's fancy, you know.
It's so fancy.
We have a private chef out in the bush, you know, like it's fancy things for community people, and that's what we love.
I love it. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you. And I'm surprised about the stuff that I've learned about you today, because, you know, we met maybe 2 months ago and it was really random, and I was like, oh, you should check out this retreat. Well, actually, it's my retreat place, you said. And since then, I've had the pleasure of getting to know you. So fantastic work in the business space. Tell me first, in 10 years, 15 years, what's Jira doing?
I mean, I really see us having land and some beautiful structures that are built with Aboriginal designers and Aboriginal architects, and a farm of bush food, so we can have, you know, bush food farm to plate dining, and an infinity pool with Aboriginal design beach umbrellas next to it, and us laying around drinking lemon myrtle cocktails with some Aboriginal music playing. You know, like, I see it pretty clearly, but it's got to be collective built, you know, like, and so I don't try to hold too tightly onto ideas of what it will be, because I just really want to work collaboratively with lots of businesses and with local community to you know, create this together in whatever way that happens.
Well, thank you so much, Koori woman Jira Lala Harvey, Yorta Yorta and Wiradjuri woman, who took a chance, moved 2 states away from where she's from, down there on Koori country, down there in Melbourne, Wiradjuri country, and moved up here to start Kalinya Retreats. And it'll be 10 years since you began Kalinya Communications. You're an example of such amazing potential for other Indigenous entrepreneurs and people that have a dream, you know, go out there and do it, because look what can happen. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And if you've enjoyed the program, you can tune in again tonight for the repeats at 7 p.m. on 98.9 FM, or you can pick up the live program that will be uploaded onto our website at 98.9fm.com.au a little bit later on in the program. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here on Let's Talk to celebrate Indigenous Business Month for the whole of October. Join me again next Friday, and Bo will be back with you on Monday here at 98.9 FM's Let's Talk program.
You claim you the king of the castle, when I cannot prove you wrong. Then you lose what you have trying to handle that I haven't moved beyond. My anger is not quiet, but I taught it to be still. My hunger is not mild, but I trained it not to kill. This mouth that could run wild, but I've shown it greater skill. My love beats louder still. You talk, we got a mouth.
For silence.